I know you have scientists experimenting with all kinds of genetic engineering today, but this fact remains true. No woman has a child without a man. I've often smiled when I've looked down and heard people say they struggle to believe in the virgin birth. They say it's a struggle for them. How do you think it was for me?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and I can't imagine being in Joseph's shoes or sandals. Here, you know, his fiance comes and says, I'm pregnant. We're going to have a baby. And he had no part in that.
He had absolutely no part in it. And of course, that is the miracle of the virgin birth. But what extraordinary faith he had and what obedience he had. The angel gives him the special word that he is not to put Mary away because God is doing something. And so this man has to persevere through all the difficulties that he must have felt internally and experienced perhaps externally.
Oh, sure.
In order to be faithful to what God was calling him to do.
Obviously, Joseph has been gone for some 2,000 years, but if he were to speak to us today, how do you think he would respond to the person who says, boy, I have a hard time believing this virgin birth thing?
Well, he would be the very best witness we could call, wouldn't he? And that's the point of the story today, is we go into another first-person, eye-view version of the Christmas story. What a great witness he is to the great thing that God is doing in stepping into the world in Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary.
Well, I hope you'll open your Bible, join us in the book of Matthew, or in the first chapter, as we begin a message entitled, Joseph's Story.
Well, it really is wonderful to be here. You know, John and Simeon have told me about what a wonderful group of people you are. They really enjoyed their time down here with you. Of course, I've been in heaven with them for the last 2,000 years, you understand. Although we don't count time like you do. By the way, that is where I got this accent, though. I'm sure that John and Simeon told you the same thing. By the way, I took the opportunity of having a look at some of the tools you have in Home Depot. I tell you, the chippies in my day could not have imagined the tools that some of you have in your homes. I tell you, if I could travel back to the first century and try and describe to some of my old mates some of the stuff that you've got there, your skills saws and your cordless drills, I'm telling you, they would not be able to conceive of what I was describing to them. And by the way, if I was to tell you about heaven, you'd have the same problem. But I want to tell you that what's there is as real as the stuff in Home Depot. And it lasts for much longer. Anyway, I've got a marvelous story to tell you today, because I had a ringside seat for the greatest event that has ever happened in the history of the world. Now, as I tell you my story, you'll understand that there was a lot of traveling involved. And I'm told that there are some children in the service today, so you might be interested, as we go through the story, to add up the number of miles that Mary traveled. And if you can add it up, you might like to tell me afterwards how many you think it really was. Well, now, of course, you all know that I was the one who was pledged to be married to Mary. I knew that she was the one for me from the first time that I saw her. What I didn't know was that she had been chosen by God to bear the child that had been promised to the world since the beginning of time. The first thing you need to know about Mary's child is that his birth had absolutely nothing whatever to do with me. You see, for us, the union between a man and a woman was sacred. It was to be kept for marriage. You know, there's a purity about the union of one man and one woman in marriage that isn't found anywhere else. I know a lot of folks in your day have lost sight of that, and I tell you, from up there, we see the pain and the insecurity that comes as a result. Of course, we never faced the pressure that some of you younger folks are facing through all the advertising that assaults your mind every day. But I can tell you that I have no regrets about the choice that we made. And if you choose to obey God in this matter, you will have no regrets either. I had kept myself for Mary, and Mary had kept herself for me. And that's why, you see, I was completely devastated when she came to me with the news that was to shatter our entire world. I don't honestly remember how she started the conversation, and I can't imagine the trauma that it was for her to begin to try and tell me. All I remember is that she said the word pregnant, and when she said that word, I just about went through the roof. She said it wasn't like I thought. And she had some story about an angel appearing to her, but I wasn't able to listen to any of that. I simply couldn't take it in after I'd heard that word. It would take an angel to make me believe what you're trying to tell me, I said to her. I may have lived 2,000 years ago, but that doesn't make me naive nor foolish. I know that no woman has a child without a man. I know you have scientists experimenting with all kinds of genetic engineering today, but this fact remains true. No woman has a child without a man. So, I've often smiled when I've looked down and heard people say they struggle to believe in the virgin birth. They say it's a struggle for them. How do you think it was for me? You may think you're more sophisticated in your scientific age than we were, but I tell you, no one in human history ever had more problems over this issue than me. Put yourself in my position. What would you have thought? Well, all I can tell you is that I was absolutely distraught. My dream of a wonderful marriage had in a moment become a nightmare. Of course, there was no way that I could go forward with the marriage. How could I do such a thing with one who had betrayed my trust? At least that's how I saw it at the time. I still loved her. I still cared for her. I didn't want to hurt her, but moving ahead with the marriage was simply not an option for me. And that was when she told me that she thought the best thing to do was for her to go away. She had a cousin, Elizabeth, who lived about 70 miles away in Judea. "I think I should go there for a while," she said. And then she was gone. My world was absolutely shattered. One minute I'm on the brink of a beautiful marriage, and the next I'm sitting in my woodshop alone. The strangest thing to me at that time was that while I was in an absolute panic over all of this, Mary had a radiance about her. In all the trauma of what she was trying to tell me, she was not filled with shame, but with joy. And that was something I just could not begin to understand. Then, one night, I had an experience unlike anything else that ever happened to me in all of my life. An angel of the Lord appeared to me in a dream. Now, by the way, I notice there's a lot of talk about angels in your country today. Most of it, of course, is wild speculation. You do know that, don't you? I find it interesting. You might be interested to know this yourselves, that it was precisely the same in my day. In fact, from the end of the period when the Old Testament was written up until my generation, there was all kinds of wild speculation about the activity of angels. Most of it was sentimental nonsense. The fact is, you never heard more from people who knew less. Let me tell you something worth remembering about angels. Angels are servants of God. Angels have the ministry of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. So the best way to be discerning when you hear stories about angels is to ask this question. Has this activity led people to think more or less of Jesus Christ? That's how you discern the activity of angels. If it hasn't led a person to think more of Jesus Christ, it isn't the activity of an angel. Or at least, not the kind of angel you want to be associated with.
You're listening to Open the Bible and a message called Joseph's Story. It's part of a larger series called Christmas Stories, where we're taking a look at the Christmas story through the lens or the eyes of those who would have been there. People like Joseph, like we're hearing about today, or Mary, the angel Gabriel, or even King Herod. Now, you can get a copy of this entire series on CD, or you can get a book by the same title, Christmas Stories, based on this series, as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. The audio series or the book is our thank you gift to you for your financial support. To find out more or to give a gift right now, you can come to our website. It's openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. All right, let's get back to the message from Matthew chapter 1. Again, this is Joseph's story.
I'm here to tell you that an angel of the Lord appeared to me in a dream. And this is what he said. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you, he said that to me, you are to give him the name Jesus. I woke up in a cold sweat. This was unlike any other dream I had ever experienced before. I knew beyond all shadow of doubt that God had spoken to me. And then I began to think about the scriptures. By the way, that's a sure way of testing when you think that God may have spoken to you. If God has said something to you, it will always fit with the scriptures. And after that dream, verses that I had read in the synagogue came flooding back to my mind. Isaiah, for example, had said this, 800 years before my time, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And Isaiah said they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It was staggering and overwhelming beyond words for me to consider that what he had said so long ago had actually happened. Well, the following morning, I knew what I had to do. I headed straight south for Judea. I don't think I had ever traveled 70 miles so fast. I could not wait to take her in my arms and to tell her what had happened. The more I thought about it over that journey, the more staggering it became to me. Our little lives had been caught up in the sweep of God's saving purpose for the whole of the human race. Our little home was going to be the place where the child promised to the world would be born. And the calling of my life was to be the guardian of the Son of God. Mary had spent 3 months with Elizabeth. And by the time we returned, she was beginning to show. That was the beginning of our married life together. Though we both agreed that we would not consummate our marriage until after the child was born. Well, we were beginning to settle into a new life together in Nazareth when a herald arrived in town with a proclamation from Rome that the new government had an initiative. You're always skeptical when the government has a new initiative. It's still the same, is it? Yeah. Well, we were too, and sure enough, it was bad news for us. The entire population had been ordered to return to the town of family origin to register for a census that they decided they wanted to take. Can you imagine it? It seemed that everybody was on the move. Roads, absolute chaos. Families with carts and animals moving all that they owned in every conceivable direction. I could hardly believe it. Mary was nearly due. But when the Romans gave orders, there were no exceptions, so I saddled up the donkey and the two of us headed south on the road to Bethlehem, my hometown. Another 70 miles. Of course, you get all sentimental about the donkey. You should try riding on a donkey. And then imagine doing it for 70 miles. Then try and imagine doing it at the advanced stage of carrying a child. I don't know how she managed it, but she did. It was on the journey that it dawned on me that even this was part of the plan of God. You know, hundreds of years before, the prophet Micah had spoken of a ruler who would come out of Bethlehem, not Nazareth where we'd been living, but Bethlehem, my town of family origin. It was years since I'd been in Bethlehem, and I would never have dreamt of going there if it had not been for the decree. Think about this. God put it into the mind of a European dictator who neither knew him nor believed in him to issue a decree that resulted in us going back to my hometown where a prophet 700 years before said that this child would be born. It's amazing. Bethlehem's a tiny place, of course. When Luke says that there was no room at the inn, that's what he means. There was no room at the inn. And all that was left for us was the shelter of a cave. And that was where he was born. I cannot describe the joy of that moment to you. Some of you have been present at the birth of a child, and you know what it is like. I was the first to hold him in my arms. My hands brought him into the world. I was the first one to touch the gift of God. It was the strangest thing being in the cave, just the three of us. The child who had been born, promised to the world since the beginning of time, and just the three of us knowing about it. At least that's what it seemed until a group of shepherds arrived saying that they had seen that very night a company of angels in the sky praising God and telling them that a Savior was born in Bethlehem. Now that he was born, I began to see the importance of the role that God had given to me as his guardian. Of course, my first responsibility was to find some proper accommodation. We decided to stay in Bethlehem for a while, and it was there on the eighth day that I had the immense privilege of naming him. There was no discussion about this. The angel had already made it clear in that original dream. He had said, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And so I named him. I named him Jesus. Of course, I really had very little idea at that point as to what all this meant. He will save his people from their sins. Though I see the glory of it now. But even then, it seemed to be a name full of hope and of meaning. And there was absolutely no doubt about why he had come into the world. He had come to save his people from their sins, whatever that meant and whatever that would involve. A month later, it was time for us to take him to the temple in Jerusalem. More traveling for his mother and me. though this time it was just 6 miles into the city from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Moses had given us a law that we should offer a sacrifice of 2 pigeons and that this was to be done just over a month after the birth of a child. So that's what we did. We were just about through with the ceremony when an old man came rushing up to us. Never seen him before, never seen him since. But the old man asked if he could hold the child, and Mary gave the child to him. And as he held the child, words began to flow from him. "My eyes have seen your salvation," he said, "which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel." I looked at Mary, she looked at me. "Who is this old fellow?" We marveled at what he was saying. The same God who had spoken to Mary through the angel and to me through an angel in the dream, and had revealed himself through angels to the shepherds, and had put it into the heart of an unbelieving dictator to call a census, the same God had answered the prayer of an old man who had evidently been praying for years that he would live to see the birth of the Savior.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Joseph's Story, really taking a look at the perspective Joseph had on that first Christmas, really a ringside seat for the greatest event in the history of the world. Our message is part of a larger series called Christmas Stories, and if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can listen online. It's openthebible.org. We'll let you know how you can get a copy of these messages or a book by the same title in just a few moments, so stay with us. Well, if you ever want to learn more about the Bible, I want to encourage you to come to our website and check out Open the Bible Story. We have 3 different paths or journeys, which will take you from Genesis to Revelation, showing you how the whole Bible is one story and it points to Jesus the whole way through. You can find out more when you come to our website and click on Open the Bible Story. Our website address is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We do depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station, and we'd love to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your gift to support this month, a paperback book called The Valley of Vision. It's a book on prayers. And for your gift of $75 or more, we'd like to send you the leather edition of this book, The Valley of Vision. Now, Colin, what makes this book so special?
Well, it is a profoundly helpful book of prayers. And, you know, sometimes when we pray, we have words. And other times, you know, words don't come so easily. And, you know, what am I going to say to God today? And I find that when you feel dry in that way, it's useful to reach for something that will help you. Sometimes a hymn book may be helpful, and just using these words will stimulate the mind and the heart. The Valley of Vision is an absolute gem for stimulating prayer when you feel dry. And it is beautiful. These are prayers that were crafted by believers in earlier centuries, and they bear not only reading and praying, but going back to again and again and again. That's why they have stood the test over hundreds of years. They have continued to provide value to Christian believers. Let me just read from the first prayer here, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "Let me find your light in my darkness, your life in my death, your joy in my sorrow, your grace in my sin, your riches in my poverty." You know, this is a book full of wisdom and of beautiful expression of prayer to God. I think it's very rich, and I think anyone who has this book will find that they return to it and use it again and again.
Well, we would love to send you a copy of this book, The Valley of Vision, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. And if you're able to make that gift a gift of $75 or more, we'd love to send you the leather edition of the book, The Valley of Vision. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. If the story of Christmas seems sentimental to you, then you need to hear the rest of the story. Find out what you've been missing next time on Open the Bible.